Good afternoon. Today is Friday, February the 20th, 51st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, our Arcata City Manager. You ready? Karen Diemer. Well, I just had to wait for the microphone to get to the right spot.
That's right.
There. Yeah. Already. Now, adjusting the chair and everything, trying to get comfortable here, huh?
It is Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you putting in a full 40 this week. So what do you got in your notebook? I really am always concerned when notebooks show up here because that implies pre-thought.
Nope, this is your half hour, so of course you get to ask whatever you want. I brought our council agenda from last week.
You're sure you want me to be able to ask anything I want?
Knock yourself out. It's Friday.
Game on. We'll be back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Diemer. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Are you a chocolate fan?
Uh-oh.
Okay, I know that
it
was...
It is the month of chocolate, so...
That was a stupid question, wasn't it? Okay. I even heard a groan from the other end of the office on this one.
Someone was looking in my car.
Yeah, comes from Janine Roth in 1982, quote, "Chocolate is something you have an affair with." Yeah, no denial.
It's been a long-term one then, I guess.
Yeah. 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 Healthy relationship with turtle. Oh, my. Are you guys in the budget process yet?
The city has just started our budget process, and we have one little wrinkle this year, which is... the fact that our finance director during our last budget cycle informed us that by this year we would be crossing the line where definitely revenues were going to be far lower than our expenditures are this year. So,
now is that, obviously it's not planned obsolescence, that'd be a stupid question to ask. Seeing this occurring, is it because of some of the stuff that's going on at the state? Is it a change in the retail mix or the business mix of retail in the city, to be able to forecast that,
right,
see it coming,
right,
and then have it come to fruition, is a little unique.
Yeah. Well, as the economic recession came in to the North Coast, the city actually, prior 6 years, had the ability to build a fairly healthy reserve. So where a lot of other cities were starting to make reductions and cuts and layoffs or furloughs or, you know, benefit reductions, the city had a reserve to buffer those years. And so the community knew that we were going to use those reserves to buffer. But at some point, you know, that buffering comes to an end. And, you know, my theory has always been we're the last to sort of go into recession, but we're also the last to come out. So where
you see talk to Dolby? He uses that line a lot, too.
Really?
Yeah.
So we should, you know, we're starting to see the signs of the economic recession rebound here. But, you know, just more slowly, I think, than the rest
of the
country.
What does it look like for you?
So what it looks like in numbers for us.
Either the rebound or the shortfall.
Yeah.
I'm more interested, frankly, right now in the rebound part.
Well, the good economic indicators for us have been that our sales tax seems to be steady and starting a slow incline, and that property taxes appear to be going up. And some of that this year is sort of one-time monies associated with the dissolution of redevelopment agencies. And the redevelopment agencies had property holdings that are being sold at a more rapid pace than they probably would have been had those agencies maintained. But some of that is just an increase in overall property values as things start to turn over and sell in the market. I think as the economic recession, as we start to build out of that, properties are starting to sell again, and we're seeing that upturn. So those are both good indicators of our revenues to come. But when we really look at what our revenues are this year and what the predictions are for next year, at this point we still have expenses that exceed that by close to $700,000.
And that was a discussion we had last month.
Yeah.
The magic number.
The magic number.
When you were talking about home sales starting to move, is that part and parcel to the grow house energy tax thing that went into effect about a year and a half ago? Is that, I know I'm not using the right words, it's my interpretation
of it. No, it's good. It's called the excessive electricity use tax. And I guess, you know, the good news on that is that we're not receiving as much tax as we would have a year or 2 years ago. So the tax itself, I think, had the intended effect of moving large-scale operations out of the residential neighborhoods, and that really was the intent.
Are those properties now the ones that are being sold?
Yeah, I don't have that correlation yet.
Okay.
Whether or not they're just turning back into standard, you know, student rentals or household rentals. But we are definitely seeing a decline in calls for growth, you know, services to our police department associated with, again, neighborhood residential growth. And that really was what I think the council and we heard as staff is that, you know, Arcata has always been a fairly liberal community, but we don't like what
Not
we're seeing
always,
in our neighborhoods.
Since the middle of the 60s. Used to be the redneck town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back when, you know, the mills were going and before the some of that stuff happened, yeah. So,
pre-university
history.
Or, yeah.
No. It was in the mid-60s, okay. Late 60s. Some of the names you might recognize started getting on the city council, and that's when things kind of started to
switch.
To turn pretty significantly, yeah.
But even with Arcata's recent history, you know, I think the effect that, you know, some of the large-scale, you know, there was a period where probably 15, maybe 20% of our housing stock was not being lived in. I mean, that was very unique, I think, to this North Coast area.
And disturbing, obviously.
Yeah. So the tax itself, and there was a wide reporting about the cost of implementation of that tax with PG&E, and in the end, it did cost us $626,000 to implement the tax through PG&E's billing.
Yet?
And I think we're 2 months out probably for covering that cost. So we're
so
just
yet
about
another
paid
break-even
off. Break-even
point
for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tax itself brings in about $30,000 a month, which is significant for a town the size of Arcata.
If that holds.
The intent is that it will zero out. You know, that is the intent of the tax, of course. We don't want the excessive electricity to be spent in the residential sector.
If it does, it covers half of your hole.
Right.
I mean, that's
significant.
That's not a bad, and without having to do anything.
Right.
You cut it in half. That's, I guess it kind of refutes the no pain, no gain thing.
Yeah, and that is on about, I'd say, 85 to 90 homes, or meters, residential meters.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Diemer. Karen, so as you start the budget process and you kind of have a little bit of foreshadowing of what to anticipate, do you favor, I guess would be the right term, a zero-based budget approach? Or do you look at, okay, guys, here's what you had last year, and that's our reference point, and then we either go up or down from that figure?
Each department at this point, I think, in the city does it a little bit different. You know, we have departments that look traditionally what we call benefit-based budgeting. So they look at what are the community benefits that our department fills, what voids do we fill, what needs are out there, and then what are the programs.
How
that
do you
we
quantify
need?
That?
How do you?
I would think you're about want to put a dollar sign on that, because that's
well,
how
ultimately,
you
prioritize.
Yeah,
ultimately, you come up with a list of needs for the community and what are the programs. And typically, this falls through like a park and recreation department, you know, that really look at what those needs are. And then they build those programs. And then what are the costs of those programs to fill those needs?
Is that something all departments can do?
Most departments, yeah. I mean, I think traditionally we've got a pretty good core set of services that the city has. So this year, the one new piece that we're adding into our budget process is we do have a citizen budget task force. I think we talked about this last month that we were at least putting it together. They've met quite a few times now. They've gotten sort of the lay of the land, and they will be looking through all of the services that the city provides, in essence, all of the benefits to the community provided through city services, and they will be helping the council and staff prioritize those services because we are in this reduction mode.
I would think that that would be a healthy process every 3 or 4 years anyway.
And absolutely.
With the legal changes that go on and everything else, that just a prioritization would be huge. I'm a little warped. I would also suggest that there would be a staff, 4 or 5 folks.
Mm-hmm.
Not more than one from any department, mind you, but and have them go through the same process and see how the priorities line up.
Mm-hmm.
If they are very similar or if they're very different, and then start to figure out why the difference as part of that whole process of budgeting.
And we do actually have that concurrent process happening in Arcata as well. You must have been channeling Brian when we came up with that.
Oh.
But the whole point was also is that departments we found really budgeted and, you know, in silos. So we all went with our departments and we created our budget and then we brought it to the city manager and the finance director, and they would have to meld and create this sort of prioritization. And so we've moved to having a larger staff team look at, all right, here's the entire budget, and how would we, let's start to cross-educate what are the priorities in each of our departments and how do we best fund those. And is there a way to eliminate any overlap that there might be or duplication in departments or ways that departments can support each other? So it's the beginning. This is the first year that we've done this type of process, so it'll take us some time to refine it.
So if the $700,000, even if it gets cut in half, you still got a nice chunk that you're looking at. Is it enough to be fearful? Is $350,000, oh my gosh? Is it, well, we can handle that? How does that figure resonate through staff and through department heads?
Well, the city of Arcata has been around for, what, 155, 58 years. So, yes, we will get through it. Yes, it's manageable. We, you know, we will figure out a way to live within our means. That is our job and our goal for the community. The real question is what service reductions will have to be implemented to do that. The department structure that I shared with staff a couple weeks ago now, they've seen a couple of drafts that staff are considering and providing feedback. It eliminates probably 7 positions throughout the city, which is significant. We do have...
One per department? Is that kind of how
roughly,
you would look at it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it, you know, we're really looking at it with what crews can we merge, what can we blend, what seems to make sense. If we were building the city from the ground up, what would it look like to the best of our ability? So we're not just eliminating that. We have a lot of vacancies right now, but we're not just eliminating those vacancies because those might be the most needed positions in the city. So in essence, the department structure that's being proposed, and it's tentative, it will go to the council in March, is really the elimination of sort of this mid-level management tier that we have in the city. And then, you know, creating some lower-level supervisors, but, you know, kind of less overhead administration. Because if you want to retain the majority of your services, you're not going to eliminate the positions that are actually filling the potholes or servicing the water and sewer system or the park and rec program. So, you know, it's really looking at where can we blend crews, create fewer supervisor positions, and try to maximize services. So we have quite a few vacancies, and then we have, I think, another 6 retirements in the next 12 months. So we're not actually going to be laying off individuals. Everyone will have a job.
Blood won't be flowing in the streets.
Right. No, everyone will be offered a job. It might not be exactly what they're doing now, but it will be, you know, a very good full-time job in the city of Arcata. 99% of them doing the exact same thing they're typically doing today. They might get the ability to learn a little larger skill set, which we did do an all-employee survey, and we had a lot of interest in cross-training and learning new things, so I'm hopeful there.
Seasonal employment, I know, is typically a pretty exciting moment for the city also, you know, whether it's in the parks department or maintenance or wherever it might happen to be. Does this impact that?
The work that we've done so far is just looking at our overall full-time structure. So right now, part-time budgets remain intact. Depending on how things really fall out in the numbers in the end over the next month, the next place we typically look is in part-time.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish-language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arcata City Manager Karen Deemer and hiker and supporter of the color pink.
Is that? Or at least teal.
Oh, teal. Okay. Okay. We're going pastel today. Do you anticipate that there's going to be much emotion around this budget? Oh, another teal weighs in. Great.
Yeah. It was good to coordinate with the staff here at KINS today.
Damien, okay, good. You and me are a little closer than teal. Okay. We're safe.
Times of change always bring some anxiety, you know, and Arcata has a really committed staff. And so far, I have to say that the discussions at the staff level have been really amazingly kind of confirming at how committed they are to just providing the maximum service that we can. But there's certainly anxiety at times that we're making cuts. At this point, we feel comfortable, I think, saying that, you know, our staff are all going to be employed, and that takes a lot of the anxiety away. From the community side, the Budget Task Force is still sort of in the infancy of doing its work. And so until we really decide, you know, what the service reductions are going to be throughout the city, I think that might increase anxiety levels. We are trialing a couple of things. We've made huge improvements to our online billing for water. So we have a water service counter still at the city where you can come in and pay your water bill. But we have reduced those hours. Used to be open 9 to 5 every day, and we're closing down at 3. We do stay open late on Tuesdays because that's the day that we shut water off. We want to make sure people can come in to the last minute and make sure that they pay their delinquent bills. So we're looking at some service reductions. If we've had some, you know, staff that have retired and vacancies, of what can we make do with, and is that going to work? Because that, to me, is a big service reduction. We are a real customer service-oriented city, and so to start to close that window. But it has, I think, really encouraged a lot of people to look at our online billing and automatic deduct billing systems. And we were naturally seeing a reduction of people at the counter. So those are the types of service cuts we're looking at, where we see a natural trend and trying to capitalize and not spend that same amount of money to service less people in that area.
How much blowback did you get about doing the billing electronically? Was there much, or was it like everybody kind of went, okay, fine?
We have such a turnover because of the high student population. What we had was a constituency that was coming in saying, how do I sign up online? How come I can't get my service turned on online? So, I mean, really, it was us sort of catching up with our constituents in Arcata. So we've seen, I mean, you know, we've rolled out online billing, but you couldn't do automatic deduction. And then the flood came in of, so how can I just pay this automatically? I'm going to be traveling for 2 months, and I don't want to have to hassle with it. So I think we're, you know, 3 months into automatic deduction, and we're just seeing the numbers, you know, come in tripling each month.
The baseline question is, how much did you save in postage? Because I don't think a lot of businesses, whether it's governmental businesses, mm-hmm. nonprofit businesses, mm-hmm. look at postage as a cost.
Yeah.
And as a cost opportunity if you can do it differently.
Mm-hmm. So we will be calculating that as we go through the budget process this year. It is a question that has come up. But our billing process was expensive. When we actually went to a whole new accounting system, we did away with the little cards. We ended up back with a full piece of paper and a full envelope and full postage payment.
So at least a buck a pop.
Yeah.
Plus time.
Right, plus time and making sure that the addresses correspond to the right account and, you know, that all of that double checking.
Oh, proofing?
So, yeah. So I think we'll see a fairly significant savings, but, you know, significant in that realm is, you know, maybe $10,000 to $20,000, which
pays for a summer, a couple summertime jobs for somebody.
It does, yeah. A full summer camp probably for,
yeah. still going back to the summer camp thing.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, the weather's nice.
Yeah. Are there cities the size of Arcata that do government different that are still in California, so it would be something that you could you could mirror. Or is government pretty much the same as it is, and creativity in doing some of these things is more limited than what the average citizen might think?
I think there's a lot of creative things happening in cities. I think there's been a lot of creative solutions and technology, you know, the last 5 years that continue to emerge. You know, for the most part, we deliver some basic core services from police and water and sewer and stormwater and, you know, contract garbage services in Arcata. So, you know, I'd say 80% of the work we do is really similar. How we deal with our unique community issues, I think, differs tremendously from community to community. You know, Arcata has a constituency that is really interested and cares about environmental initiatives and programs. So they support large-scale restoration projects, you know, along Humboldt Bay, or the acquisition of additional properties for preservation of various ecosystems. A lot of cities don't, you know, even think about that in their very urbanized setting, even if they're small, but they're in the Bay Area. So, yeah, cities, I think, and, you know, we certainly try to share ideas. You know, we're not in the plagiarism world anymore. We plagiarize wherever we can. We encourage people to plagiarize the work we do if it's good, you know. I mean, that's in government especially. And so we are always looking for best practices. And there are, I think, new ways and new technologies coming out, even the simple things of how we're sharing data. You know, I think that's probably the trend we're going to see in the next 10 years is government needs to be data-driven. We need to be making decisions based on the data that we see. You know, how fast is our response time within our police department? How many building permits are getting turned around in less than a week? We need to start developing that data so we can make better informed decisions. And that's a trend that we're starting to see.
And remember how to retrieve the data.
You got to keep current on our technology. And that's going to be hard for governments to keep up with that changing world.
Well, I would think that that would be something that a lot of the department heads are probably anxious for, so that they have a better grasp of what's going on and where their costs are going, or where, you know, potential increased services could go, all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, if you've got a full department, you're doing five building permits a year. Whoops.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's coming up with what is the important information to develop metrics for in your community. And I guess having only been on the job for a few months, the one thing I'm really learning is that every community is very unique in what is important and how to accomplish something that feels productive for that community. So I haven't found the How to Do It Right book yet, and I've looked. So I've realized that you have to write that book for the community that you work in. And, you know.
KINS, News and Information Time, 3:43. We'll be back with more from Karen Diemer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Diemer. So, Karen, if somebody wants to know a little bit about the process, if they're, obviously they're not on the Budget Committee, if they haven't already been appointed to the Budget Committee, what are some of the things that they can look to either to get a better understanding, or if for some deviant reason they want to be involved and make viable suggestions? Mm-hmm. Is there a venue or a forum for that? Is it too early still at this point?
No, not too early. It's a good time. The Budget Task Force has been formed. They have gone through sort of their learning curve with each of the departments. So their next meeting is actually this coming Monday, the 23rd. Is it the 23rd?
Yep.
At 6 o'clock at Arcata City Hall. And that will be a joint study session with the council to talk about what's the council's vision for the Budget Task Force work. What does the council expect in terms of a recommendation, you know, kind of look and feel, how many options are they looking for? and provide some direction. And from that point, the task force will start to look at how do we create a recommendation of prioritized cuts. So this is a perfect time for citizens and, you know, interested community members to get involved in the budget task force process.
Are you looking for implementation this upcoming budget cycle? It seems awfully quick.
It does, but we are committed to bringing a balanced budget to the council by July 1st. That really is a commitment that we've made. And so
you're scrambling looking for ideas.
That's right. All good ideas, all ideas are considered good until deemed otherwise.
No, I like that. All good ideas will be welcomed. Yeah. How much flexibility do you have with the budget? With all the strings, all you mentioned the silos, all of the different things that are out there that restrict decision making.
Yeah.
How much flexibility do you really have?
Well, the city's overall budget runs, I'll say, $35 to $40 million a year, and the general fund is about $13-14 million of that. The general fund really tends to be the area that the community and the council have more flexibility with which how it was spent. A good portion of that was a new tax that the citizens of Arcata passed several years ago, and there was some indications of what the voters were interested associated with public safety and streets, trails, pothole work.
Amazing how consistent that is.
Yeah. So, you know, the council knows that there are certain priorities in the community that they try to remain committed to funding, but they certainly do have some flexibility within that general fund budget. But at this point, all that money is spoken for in programs and priorities that the community have indicated are, you know, vital to them. So at this point, the flexibility means taking away from something in order to fund something else.
How's the trail coming along?
Trail is breaking ground. We have clear brush being cleared. We have a contractor on board. It's actually a local Arcata construction company. McCullough Construction is going to be doing phase one of the trail project, and they will be in full construction on April 15th. Our permits allow full construction.
Ah, weather permitting. Isn't that always the caveat at the end of these things?
Not anymore in Humboldt County.
Oh, I see. She just whipped on her Chamber of Commerce scarf there. And
that's right. The weather
color
is always
coordinated
good.
To the teal, yeah. Well, enjoy your weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Yeah, get some sleep, huh? We've been Talking Shop with Karen Deemer. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.